The question was asked. We know there's laws of maritain and chashad, as we discussed in the previous class. Maritain being I'm not supposed to do something where people who see it will have room to think that what I'm doing is wrong, even though I know there are more facts to the story and why I'm doing is right. And chashad is I'm doing something which you could interpret as bad, but you don't have to. And people who watch it might interpret it negatively, but there's an element of their interpretation involved, and still Chazal said don't do it. And then the question is, we have examples of where Chazal said don't do it. For example, you live in a community where there's davening is at 6:30, and at 6:30 everyone's davening in shul, and you just walk by the shul and don't walk in. So the Talmud says don't do that, because people look at you and they say, why isn't he going in? Maybe he doesn't even believe in any of this. So don't walk by the shul when everyone knows this is the time of davening, and you just walk by the entrance as though you don't care. You could be doing other things at that time, but if you walk right by, that's an indication. People are going to think, oh, this guy doesn't care to daven. But there, the Talmud says, if there's a different entrance, so you don't have to worry. People are going to think you didn't go in that entrance because you're going in the other entrance. That's okay. So there we have one type of halacha in terms of chashad. Then you have another type of halacha, which is where the question was asked, that says, if your house has two entrances, make sure to light Hanukkah candles on both. Because if people walk by one, they're going to say, hey, he didn't light here. Must be he didn't light on the other side either. This guy is obviously not a part of any of this. So why did Chazal want us to be so concerned about what people are going to think negatively about what we do? That was the question of chashad. Now the truth is that really the two halachot I just quoted seem to contradict one another. When it comes to shul, our sages said if there's another entrance, then people will assume you're going there. And here, people are assuming just like you didn't light here, you're not lighting there. So that contradiction is asked by the commentaries, and coming off that, we start getting insight as to what was Chazal's concern altogether in chashad over here. So I'm going to skip really this, the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz quotes opinions on it, and then he brings his own opinion. One opinion says that because Hanukkah candles cost money, oil is expensive, and in their days it was very expensive, so that's why Chazal saw that people would more easily suspect their neighbor isn't lighting. Because they're going to say, he obviously doesn't want to spend the money on it, it's so expensive to light Hanukkah candles. Today it's dirt cheap. The once upon a time was very expensive. So you see the Talmud discusses a person doesn't have money to buy a cup of wine for the Seder, so he's going to sell the shirt off his back to buy a cup of wine. Then the Halacha discusses you don't have enough money to buy oil for Hanukkah and Shabbos, which comes first. It was expensive, it was tough on people. So that's why Chazal were concerned. That's one interpretation as to why they were concerned, that people are going to say you're not even interested in lighting, that's why you don't have anything lit, because it was expensive for people. So there was really room to wonder about whether people are lighting or not. So over here, the Mishnah Brura brings like this. Where are we? I don't see it here. So we'll do it in the Taz. We'll do it in the Taz. I don't see where it's quoted here right now. I will do it in the Taz in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Taz quotes, we said, one interpretation, because it costs money. And that's why people are going to wonder whether he did it. And then the Taz, where at the end of Siman Taf Reish Ayin Aleph, says, walking right by the shul is an act of mockery. You're walking right there, everyone's going in, and you just keep walking. So that's why people are wondering, why are you doing that? A person should at least be embarrassed. Everyone's going into shul, he's not going into shul. But if there's another entrance, so then he's not mocking anything. Everyone knows. Maybe he's walking into the other entrance. But when it comes to the lighting the Hanukkah candles, so there, coming back to what we said before, people have no way of knowing what you did and didn't do. If they see one side, they don't see the other side. And again, because it was expensive, there was room to wonder. I guess people, like the Gemara says, people couldn't even afford lighting their Shabbos candles. So that's why there was more room, that people were thinking about one another, whether they were lighting or not. I would suggest something which it does not say here, but this is my suggestion. Again, this is I don't have a source for this. The Talmud tells us in Baba Kama, not in the Shabbos, says that when there was persecution against the Jews, that they weren't allowed to circumcise their kids, they would circumcise nonetheless. And the way they would make the circumcision know is they would light candles outside the house where the circumcision was going to take place. That was a sign. You walked by a house and by day you saw candles lit outside the window. That was the code that that house is celebrating a circumcision. So we see that lighting candles outside was a way of showing I'm a Jew, even when my enemies are trying to say, don't be a Jew. And the Talmud in Tractate Shabbos discusses that there were times that the Persians, who were Zoroastrians, they wouldn't allow us to light candles because they would have their temple where they lit their candle and you weren't allowed to light candles anywhere else. So lighting candles was something which sometimes it was very dangerous. It says Rav lit a candle and one of the Persians came in, one of their priests, and he grabbed the lamp from in front of him and Rav was endangered by him. The Talmud gives us many different stories of how dangerous it was at different times to light Hanukkah candles. Our enemies would persecute us, and if they saw us daring to light Hanukkah candles, then it could endanger a person. So much so that the Halacha in the Gemara already discusses that sometimes you'll just light it on your dining room table, and you have no choice. It won't look like Hanukkah candles. You'll light another lamp next to it, but that's what you can do. So that's the way you light Hanukkah candles. So we see that sometimes lighting Hanukkah candles involved a certain dedication to the point of risking it to say, I'm a Jew, I'm lighting my Hanukkah candles. And perhaps that's why Chazal were so careful with us and said, make sure your neighbors also know you're lighting it. Don't do it in a way where people can walk by and think, he's not really lighting it. Why didn't Chazal say, when you're lighting it on your table, so then everyone knows it's dangerous, you're lighting it on your table. So they're also lighting it on their table. But when you could light it outside, when you're not in danger of lighting it outside, maybe that's why it was so important that your neighbors should also see that you're lighting it. You're not always going to be able to. When you can, you should be proud that you can and do it, which is not always so easy. Very often a Jew is tempted to hide that he's Jewish. I'll be a Jew in the home. You know, I come from Yekish family. The Yekis, when they'd leave the house, they wouldn't wear a yarmulke. So much so, my grandmother told me in their day school, when they'd learn secular studies, they take off their yarmulke. In their Jewish school. I'm saying, I don't know exactly why, but that's what they did. So maybe here, Chazal said, this is where you're supposed to say, I am a Jew, and this is what I do, and you shouldn't hide it.
People would suspect you if you...
Yeah, it seems like, yeah. Seems that way, yes.